Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 16. Revelation, chapter 16. We'll read verses 1 through 10 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Revelation, chapter 16, verses 1 through 10. Revelation 16, verses 1 through 10. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, "Go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth." And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth. And there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and the fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, "Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shall be, because thou hast judged us. For they have shed the blood of the saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy." And I heard another out of the altar say, "Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments." And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and the power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues. They repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. And let's pray. Father, thank you for our church. Lord, today was Father's Day. Maybe you would accept the work of your people in this church today as a Father's Day gift to you. Father, 49 people being saved just today, and the others throughout the week. Lord, hundreds throughout the last several weeks. Lord, you're a good God to us. And though you've been so good to us, we still stand before you needy. And Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. Please change us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
The sermon this evening is, I'm going to teach some lessons about the subject of darkness. The subject of darkness, earlier we read together from Revelation chapter 16, verse number 10, where it says, "And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness." I was reading in the book of Revelation recently, and I came across those words, "His kingdom was full of darkness." Now, in Revelation chapter 16, it finds itself as a part of the happenings of the end times. Seven angels have been instructed to pour out their vials of God's wrath upon the earth. These vials of wrath are poured out upon those who have received the mark of the beast, which is the number 666. The first angel's vial contained grievous sores. We read about it in verse number 1. So they pour out this wrath, and sores cover the people. The second angel's vial or container, it contained the turning of the sea's water to blood, and it said the blood of a dead man, and everything in the sea died, according to verse number 3. The third angel's vial was poured out upon the rivers and the fountains, and it too was turned to blood. We read about it in verse number 4. The fourth angel's vial was poured out, and it was poured out upon the sun. And the Bible says the sun became so hot that it scorched men like a fire. We read about it in verse number 8. The fifth angel's vial was poured out upon the seat of the beast. We'll come back to that in a minute. The sixth angel's vial was poured out on the river Euphrates, and it all dried up. Now that's in verse 12. The seventh angel's vial was poured out on these people, and it was poured out into the air, and it caused thunders and lightnings and earthquakes. That's found in verse 17 and 18. Now, of this passage of scripture, verse number 10, which is the fifth vial and the angel. And it says, and the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness. You know, the devil is of darkness. The devil thrives in darkness. The devil is darkness. And that's why those songs that, like, Jesus is the light of the world is so important to us. There are many things mentioned in the Bible about this topic, darkness. Darkness. And when we say darkness, we're not just talking about the absence of light. We're talking about evil. We're talking about those dark things that are contrary to God. I believe that we live in dark days. And the closer we come to the second coming of Jesus Christ, the darker things will tend to get. The Bible mentions darkness over and over again. Psalm 82:5 says, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. Matthew 6:23 says, but if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Over and over again. Bible talking about you and the body of a human, and there being darkness in that mind and darkness in that body. Now, darkness is the absence of light. But remember, Jesus is the light of the world. Which means this, the darker it is, the less Jesus there must be. And we're talking about in a given situation, we're talking about in this world. The less and less our nation has an interest in Jesus, the darker and darker her future becomes, the darker the morality, the darker the sin, the darker Hollywood gets. Why? The less they're interested in the light. And so, if I could this evening, I want to touch on the subject of darkness. I want to tell you some things about darkness. All of us ought to be aware of this subject of darkness. Now, let me say, first of all, it is my job as your pastor and as your preacher to help your eyes to be open to the results and the dangers of darkness. It's something that I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to preach a sermon like this. I'm supposed to warn you of darkness. In Acts 26, verse 18, you hear Paul speaking here. He says this. He's talking about, he says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. Paul was describing what Paul was supposed to do, and Paul was describing what a preacher is supposed to do. A preacher is to help people to see the danger of darkness, to help people to understand that they need Jesus, the light. Paul was to win the lost, those that were in darkness. He was to win them to Christ, who was the light. And that's what a church is supposed to do. Did you know that a church like ours will help our community not to be dark? You say, how? We're taking the darkness of lost men, getting them saved, and pumping Jesus, the light, right back into our community. It helps a community. Paul was to train people of the dangers and the issues of darkness, and that's a preacher's responsibility. A preacher is to be like a lighthouse. A preacher is a lighthouse, and he's supposed to be saying, watch out, danger, danger, danger. Don't go in that area right over there. That's darkness, and that will hurt you. That's what I'm supposed to do as a pastor. Secondly, Christians, we are not to live in darkness. We're not to live in darkness. Now, you just take the physical light. I like the church auditorium light. I go to churches, and Brother Dobley and I preach quite a bit. We'll go into church auditoriums, and every once in a while pastors say, well, what do you think I ought to do? And we often say, you need to get brighter lights in here. You need to light this thing up. It's not a funeral home. It's a preaching service. We want light on things. We want it to be light and cheery and bright. It's not a movie theater. And boy, and I'm watching churches, they're dimming their lights more and more, and it's getting darker and darker. I like a church where it's light, where we can see each other, where we can see the tears and we can see the expression and the smile on the face. Why? Because there's something about darkness that ought to be distasteful to the Christian, and we're not to live in darkness. The Bible says in John 8:12, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 4 and 5, it says, "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night. We are not of darkness." And Christians are to be aware of this issue of darkness, and we're to be interested in the light. We're to be interested in Jesus, and we're to be interested in that which is clean and bright. So we're not to live like this dark world. We're not to think like this dark world. And some of you need to get your thoughts out of the darkness of this world, and you wouldn't have such a dark attitude if you do that. Earlier, we were singing that song as Brother Nash led us, "I'm on the winning side." Hey, the world, they're not on the winning side. No wonder the world has the music that the world has. It's dark music. You and I, we don't sing dark music, so we don't have dark spirits. We don't have dark attitudes. We don't have dark outlooks on life. We're to have a light outlook. We're to have a light attitude. Our music is music of lightness, and we're not to live in darkness. Hey, let's not go where the old dark world goes. We're not supposed to do that. So, as a pastor, I'm to teach the subject of darkness and comparison to light. Christians are not to live in darkness. Also, may I say, Christians are not to fellowship with darkness or those who live in darkness. We're not to fellowship with the darkness or those that are living in darkness. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" So you know, if you're a new Christian, you ought to try to win your old friends to Christ, but you need to find some friends that have the light of Jesus in them. You need to get some friends that are born again. And I hate to break it to you, and I really do, because some of you have some friends that you're spending time with, but you need to get some new friends because your old friends are still a part of darkness. And I'm not mad at your old friends. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. If you're going to live a life of light, you need to fellowship with people of the light, not people of the darkness. Don't yoke up in darkness with people in business. If you're going to start a business, don't go out and start a business with some lost person. You're going to start a business, start it with a saved person, because we're not to be unequally yoked. Light is not to fellowship with the darkness in marriage. Oh, I'll watch some women get desperate. They'll run out somewhere and grab them, some man, and drag him into the church, and he's not even saved and want to get married to him. That's unscriptural. That's unscriptural. If you are a woman of the light, you're to marry a man of the light. If you're a man of the light, you're to marry a woman of the light. Light and darkness, they are not to yoke up in marriage. It's what the Bible says. Ephesians 5:11 says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Hey, let's not get our entertainments from the people of darkness, and don't fellowship with darkness. The Bible says that their works are unfruitful. Their works are unfruitful. And so, Christians are not to fellowship with darkness. So, as a pastor, I'm to teach you about darkness. As a Christian, you're not to live in darkness. As a Christian, we're not to fellowship with those that are in darkness. You know, the Bible actually teaches us that some people love darkness. Some people love darkness. Listen to this verse. John 3:19 says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. And men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Oh my. When I got to studying darkness, and I wanted to teach a little lesson on it because I felt compelled, I thought the Bible commanded that I talk about darkness. When I did it, and I thought, oh, this is crazy. To the thought that somebody would love darkness. And God said they loved it because they're evil. Their deeds are evil. Now, are you a lover of darkness? You shouldn't be. Do you say, well, how would I know? I think you prove it by your behavior. Because the Bible says these people, their deeds were evil, and somehow it is connected to those that are lovers of darkness. Your evil deeds are a sign that there's too much darkness in your life. Now, I'll remind you, evil is when we are malicious and we're out to hurt people. And I've told you before, your sin hurts you. When you're evil, you get other people in on your sin. And when you're guilty of evil, you're attacking people and you're plotting against people and you're trying to hurt people and you're pulling people down. And God said, if you're doing that, you you are connected here in this verse with being a lover of darkness. That means, I think there are people that they gossip and they backbite, which is evil. And just so you know, God considers that the acts of darkness. The acts of darkness. You're living in an element of darkness because you tear people down instead of build people up. And so, I noticed that some actually love darkness. Not only that, darkness has a power of its own. Darkness has a power of its own. Colossians chapter 1 verse 13 says this, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness." The power of darkness. Isn't that incredible? The Bible teaches us that there are people that love darkness. Now the Bible tells us that there is a power of darkness. Could I recommend that you don't play with the power of darkness? Could I recommend that since Satan is the prince of the power of darkness, that you give him no place in your life? Don't you let him have any power over you? Don't you give place to him in the slightest? Now, I'm telling you, the devil is, there is a power that goes along with darkness. And we sometimes get to thinking that, oh, I can go over here and dabble in the world with this and dabble with that, and it won't overtake me. Hey, I'm going to tell you right now, there is a power about darkness, and you'll play with it a little bit, and darkness is going to grab you, and it's going to take you down. It'll take you for everything you're worth. You say, oh, no, preacher, I've been playing around with some things I'm not to play with, and it's not going to get me. Hey, darkness has a power. And that power is going to suck you in like a whirlwind, and it'll take you down, keep you longer than you plan to stay. Hey, it'll take more from you than you plan to give. It'll hurt you so much. But we play with it. We mess around with darkness. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Darkness, it has a power. Now, oh, I love it. I'm so glad that the power of God is greater than the power of darkness. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And that's why you the only way some of you are going to overcome the power of darkness is through the power of Jesus Christ. And you need to stop walking in the flesh and start walking in the Spirit. There are people in here right now. You're struggling with the issues of darkness. Darkness in your associations and darkness in your thinking and darkness in your behavior and darkness in your morality. You say, why can't I overcome it? You're trying to overcome it on your own, and you must overcome the darkness of the devil with the light of Jesus Christ through the person of the Holy Spirit. Yes, if you want to overcome the power of darkness, you can't do it in the flesh. You have to do it in the Spirit. He is the light of the world. Yes, and so, my job as a pastor is to talk about darkness and to warn you. Christians are not to live in darkness. Christians are not to fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness and people of darkness. There are actually some that love darkness. Darkness has a power about itself. The Bible teaches that we are to fight against darkness when it tries to enter our lives. We're to fight against it. Listen to this verse. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the rulers of darkness." And what's going to happen in your life, Christian? Darkness is going to enter, and you're going to get in a wrestling match. Right. It says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the rulers of darkness." Darkness is going to try to enter your life. It's going to try to enter your family. It's going to try to enter our church. What do? We wrestle it. We wrestle it. We go to battle with the darkness that tempts us. Romans chapter 3 verse 12, and I'm going to explain this a little better using the scripture to explain the scripture. It says here in Romans 13, 12, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." These two, the words "cast off the works of darkness" are almost like the wrestling darkness. In other words, what's going to happen is darkness is going to try to grab a hold of you. It may pull you down, and you might feel like darkness has a hold of you. Brother Nathan, come up here for a second. You're going to be darkness, and I want you to come up here and grab a hold of me for a second. Darkness is going to try to grab a hold of you, and the Bible says you're to cast it off. That's okay. I didn't mean to kill him. I just slew the devil. Are you okay? I don't care about him. I just don't want my insurance premiums to go up. Darkness is going to try to grab a hold of you. Hey, some of you young people, darkness is going to try to get a hold of you. The Bible says you're going to wrestle it. You are going to wrestle it. It's going to come and try to grab a hold of you, and you're to push it away. You're to cast off the works of darkness. Darkness may get on you, and you say, boy, I almost feel pinned. I feel pinned. Like wrestling. You know, so a wrestler gets you down and you feel pinned. You need, in the Spirit and the power of God, to push that darkness off of you. Get back up on your feet and you flee and you get away from darkness. You fight it. You don't give in to it. You fight it. You wrestle it. So we're not to give in to darkness. We're to fight that darkness. Not only that, I might need to give this warning to all of us. The workers of darkness, you're in danger. If you are a worker of darkness, you're in danger. If you're here and let's say I'll use the teenagers. Teenager, if you're here and you're pulling people toward darkness instead of pushing them toward the light, you're in danger. You're in danger. And I love you and I need to warn you. If you're a lady here, I talked about gossip earlier. If you're a lady here and you're part of that little train of gossip carrying people, let me warn you, you're in danger. You're in danger. Workers of darkness are in danger. The Bible says in Isaiah 29:15, woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. And they say, who seeth us and who knoweth us? There it's talking about those works in darkness. And God uses the word woe. When God uses the word woe, it is an explanation. It's like a big danger sign flashing. Danger, danger, danger. He's saying, woe, woe unto you. You're in a dangerous situation here. Be careful. Because God said, he's going to take care of this thing of workers of darkness. Understand that the beast, Satan, of whom it was said there in Revelation 6:10. You remember earlier the text verse where we read it and it said that, and his kingdom was full of darkness. You understand that he whose kingdom was full of darkness is cast into hell, the hottest part of hell for all eternity. Right. Why? He's darkness. He's the king of darkness. He's the ruler of darkness. And look, if he's going to get in trouble for darkness, so will you. So will you. Hey, it's a horrible thing to fall into the danger of God's judgment.
Yes, sir.
God pronounces judgment on the workers of darkness. Make sure you're not involved in darkness. Some of you are very dark in your thinking. You need to fix that up. Get that fixed up. Always negative. It's always bad. The cup is always half empty instead of half full. You can't see the bright side of anything. You're not an encouragement to anybody. Oh, hey, you can hear a sermon that's full of 95 good things and you'll pick out the one thing that you don't like and that's what you walk away with. That's the way you are. That's the way you are. And I'm telling you, you got too much darkness in you. You've got too much darkness in you. You better get the Spirit of God in you. You better make sure that you get the light of Jesus in you. Then the Bible says that there are those who lead in the ways of darkness. See, God says, watch out. There's a danger if you're involved in darkness. He said we're to fight or wrestle against darkness. And darkness has its own power. And there are some that actually love darkness. And Christians shouldn't even fellowship with darkness because we're not to live in darkness. And our preachers to warn us about it. But there are those who lead in the ways of darkness. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 12 speaks of the rulers of darkness. Though when the Bible talks about rulers, it's talking about leaders. Leaders, rulers, that means here on our earth, the Bible says there are rulers of darkness. There are people that are better at darkness than others. They have experience at darkness. They have skill at the evil task. They're good at spreading their darkness. They're good at it. Let me ask you, are you a leader in the ways of darkness? Are you a leader at the ways of darkness? I want to say this, and I think it's important for me to say, all you young people that go through our Christian school, and all you young people that you start out and you go to first grade Sunday school, and then second grade Sunday school, and third grade Sunday school, and you go all the way through high school, and you get involved in King's Kids at 4 years of age, and you go all the way through King's Kids through sixth grade, and then you go to Young Fundamentalists until you're in 12th grade, and you're taught around here, and you are challenged, and you've got a baseball league where you can learn to lead. You've got a soccer league where you can learn to lead. And you've got a King's Kids program where you can learn to lead. And you can go to Sunday school and learn to lead. And you can go to Young Fundamentalists and learn to lead. And you've got a preacher that teaches you to learn to lead. We're not training you to lead in a rebellion. We're training you to lead people away from darkness. And young people are not to take the leadership they are given in the New Testament church and lead people down the wrong path. It's a sad thing, and you train and you teach and you train and you teach and you train and you teach. And then people will use their leadership to pull people away from light. Instead of fighting the darkness, we're all to band together and we're to be leaders of the light, not leaders of darkness. Not leaders of darkness. There are people that have experience and skill at leadership, but they use their leadership for darkness. Oh, don't be a leader of darkness. Are you allowing yourself to be influenced by a leader of darkness, a leader? I'm going to finish with this. The Bible teaches us that hating a Christian brother is an act of darkness. You know, if I would have taken a minute and I thought about prompting this by talking about witchcraft and demonology, when I was a kid, my dad, one Saturday, we went to visit on his bus route, went to a city called Piqua, Ohio, and my dad said, I'm going to show you something. We went there. He showed me a church as they would covenant, as a covenant of witches. They actually had services. We stepped in the front door. All the walls were black. Everything was black. It was dark in there. It was very dark. And it was scary. And you know, if I would have taken the time to talk about all the darkness of the world, and I really illustrated it. You know how I dig into some of them juicy facts and tell you all them nasty stories? There'd be people in here saying, that's, oh, darkness. Oh, nasty and wicked and evil and bad. Did you know that God says you are committing darkness if you hate a Christian brother? The Bible says in 1 John 2:9, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness. 1 John 2:11 says, but he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness. That means this. If you sit here today and you're at odds with one of your Christian brothers in this church, you are in darkness. You're behaving like those that are in darkness behave. Whether you're in third grade, and look, let's face it, children in grade school can hate each other. Yes, you children, you're not to hate your Christian brothers. Right. And then the teenagers. You shouldn't hate each other. Now there might be, and I recommend this, there might be some teenagers you ought not be spending a lot of time with. I think there are teenagers you ought to be friendly to, but not best friends with. But you're not to hate them. That's darkness. They're born again. They're part of the family. Grown adults, I'll go to churches and a pastor will say to me, Brother Owens, you see that fellow right there? He has not spoken to that guy right over there for 3 years. 3 years. Then I watch and I see how dry and dead the church service is and nobody comes to the altar. I'll tell you what, there's a problem in the pew that's keeping the pulpit from having the power of God, and there's something happening there that's keeping the church from being full of light and excitement and revival. There's darkness in the pew. And it's not a darkness because you're out doing drugs. And though I think that the use of drugs is like witchcraft when it's abused, and that's very dark and evil, but there's some of you would never touch marijuana, but you will hate a Christian in the church. And God said, that's an act of darkness. Yes, you're living in darkness. Yes, you need to get your darkness cleared up. God is love. And if you hate a brother, you are living in the darkness of to what real true Christianity is. Darkness. Darkness. We are people of the light. If you're not saved, you're in darkness. Jesus is the light of the world. If you're not saved, you need to get born again and trust Jesus, the light, and let Him save you. And I'll tell you something so you understand. You say, preacher, I'm not saved, and there are a lot of things that you preach I don't understand. I'll tell you what will happen. If you'll get saved and get Jesus inside you, a light will click in your head, and all of a sudden you'll understand what you didn't used to understand. You say, really, about the only thing I understand is this getting saved part. Well, you go ahead and do that then. You start right there because that is the foundation on which understanding and the light comes on for the rest of it. I promise you it works that way. If you're not saved, you need to trust Jesus, who is the light, to save you. If you are saved, don't live in darkness. We let too much darkness into our lives. Let's let the light of Jesus Christ and the light of the Word of God light our path that we might live right. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, we wish you'd get born again. If you're not saved, in a second, the men that are sitting on this platform will step down off the platform. They'll post themselves at on the lower floor at the end of each aisle. If you're not born again, we want to welcome you to come and get saved. You just leave your seat, walk up to one of these men, get born again. Tell them, I want to be saved. We'll show you how to be saved. If you're here tonight, you've been saved and never made it public, why don't you come? If you've been saved and never baptized, why don't you come? There's somebody in here, you've been dabbling in behavior of darkness and you're fellowshipping with darkness. Your friends ought to be born again Christians that are living in the light. Not just saved, but living in the light. If your friendships are with people of darkness, you're doing the wrong thing. No wonder you're morbid in your thinking. No wonder you have no hope. No wonder you have the attitude you have. You have your friendships built in darkness. We need to come to the light. You just may need the altar tonight. Maybe somebody's gotten away from God. You need to rededicate your life and walk in the light. If that be the case, we want you to come. I'll ask the instrumentalist to begin to play at this time. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Choir, sing a song of invitation. If you need the altar, you come. Says in Revelation 16:10, and His kingdom was full of darkness. Full of darkness. We're not to live in darkness. We're not to fellowship with darkness. Some even get to the point where they love darkness. Darkness has a power about it. You may think that you can handle the power of darkness, but it's very powerful. You get started down a path and it'll take you down. We're to fight against it. We're to cast off the darkness. We're to wrestle against that darkness. Watch out. If you're a worker of darkness, God says, woe unto you. There is a danger. There is a judgment on those that are workers of darkness. Don't be a leader of darkness. Be a leader to the light. And if you hate your Christian brother, it is an act of darkness. You're behaving in darkness. You're living in darkness. Light should love light. Jesus is the light of the world. He's to influence us. We're all to be lighthouses. We're all to cast light. Their deeds are evil. Choir, one more time through the song, please. Just one more time. Oh, God. God bless you, folks. Go ahead and have a seat there.